Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast, episode 12. This is Andrew.
And again, this is not Damien.
Yeah, apparently Damien couldn't make it tonight. However, he does have a good excuse this time, so I'm not going to rag on him this episode, you know?
Not too much, at least.
Yeah, not too much. Yeah, today we're going to be discussing, I don't know, because the whole the discussion idea was centered around Damien.
Yes, again, he has screwed us! Ah! So we now have to discuss nothing. So, Andrew, what do you think about nothing? What were your thoughts?
I think it's really simple and it's awesome, but I think we should discuss this Silence of the Lambs thing.
But that's something. I thought we had nothing to discuss.
No, I'm just throwing in stuff now.
Ah, I see. Silence of the Lambs. So what is so special about Silence of the Lambs?
No, it's not generally Silence of the Lambs. It's the Silence of the Lambs musical video I found on the internet.
What? What?
Apparently, these guys took the Silence of the Lambs and they turned it into a musical. Like, every scene, they made a song version of it. And someone went out and they did a video for the one, for the scene where, with the lotion in the basket, put the lotion in the basket with Legos. And I found this via Cinematical. So, and it links to the site of the people who did the whole musical, so you can go there and listen to all the songs. A lot of them are okay to bad, but this one is really, really cool.
So, did Anthony Hopkins reprise his role?
Well, he's not in that scene on top of everything else.
He's not in that, but he is the lamb that was silenced.
Didn't you watch the movie? He's not the lamb.
But I want to see, if I see Silence of the Lambs, all I think is, I can't even make the sound effect right. I'm sorry, but you know, fava beans and lime sauce.
Well, that's your fault for typecasting the dude.
Okay, so you say they made a musical. Can we see some sort of evidence of this?
But I want to kind of like announce the rest of the show format.
No. Why would we announce the rest of the show if we have something to talk about? No, we never announce the show.
Yes,
before.
We do.
We usually say, let's talk about something. And then we talk about it.
No, that's after I've told them what the show format is.
People out there listening, if you haven't gotten it from the first, how many shows have we had?
11.
From the first 11th show. On the 12th show, we're going to do everything the same. We're going to discuss something.
No, but what happens?
Then shush. Then we're going to talk about some news. Then we're going to watch some trailers and then talk about them. And then we're going to talk about a movie. And then we might ramble on for 5 minutes and then stop because Andrew doesn't want to ramble on anymore. Have I announced the show to your liking, Andrew?
Well, I mean, the only difference I would have between that and what I would say is that I'd tell them what movie we're reviewing this week.
Andrew, this is on a need-to-know basis. And at this point, they do not need to know.
What, is the movie that bad? Do we not need to tell them or... Okay, all right, let's move on. All right, so, right. For anyone who doesn't know, I found this on Cinematical. I can't remember what the name of the originators are, but I'll link them in the show notes. You can find them there.
The show nuts?
Show notes.
The show has nuts?
Notes.
Notes, okay.
I did not say nuts.
Rewind and you will hear it.
We're live. I can't rewind. Anyways, I'm just going to play this video for you guys in the chat so you guys can hear and see.
All of you zero people in the chat.
Yes, all of you zero people in
enjoy.
The chat.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It does this when it's told. It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose. And when it's done, there's one more thing, a simple little task. It's put the fucking lotion in the basket. Put the fucking lotion in the basket. All these stupid women are the same. Helps me not to think of them as human. So I call them it instead of by their names.
Mister, please, no more abuse. Can't you see there's no excuse? My family's probably wondering where I've been.
I'll starve you so your skin gets loose. Stop crying now, you big fat moose. Just put the fucking lotion on your skin. And then put the fucking lotion in the basket. Your chances for survival are remote. I'm impervious to all your silly whining, so pipe down before I jam a moth right down your fucking throat.
Mister, please, my mom's got money. Let me go, this isn't funny. Cops are sure to send somebody. Turn me loose, don't be a dummy.
Listen to you scream and wail. Keep it down, you fucking whale. Mind the broken fingernail. The last girl climbed halfway but failed.
She's down here, you piece of shit.
Put the fucking poodle in the basket. I'd kill you, but there's someone at the door. Don't make me go and get my gun and shoot you. It's a waste of skin. They don't sell fat girls in a fucking store. Put my fucking precious in the basket. Don't you hurt my one and only friend. But I'll teach you if you lay a fucking finger on my poodle's pretty head. Put the fucking poodle in the basket.
Apparently that is the genius. That is Silence of the Lambs, the musical.
Yeah, I thought it was fucking hilarious. What do you think?
It was kind of funny.
I mean, you know this about me. I love musicals, right? And I love that movie. And just hearing that scene being done in that way was just hilarious and amazing all at the same time.
And you know what? You're going to say that I have no imagination, but the way the voices were played, were portrayed, they were kind of weird sounding. They reminded me of South Park.
Well, I guess I can see that. This does look like the kind of thing a South Park type show would do, where, yeah, but, and you can go to the original people's site. I'll put it in the show notes. I can't remember their name. I'm sorry about that. I should have looked it up, but it's, they do like, they have like 10 tracks, and I think I've listened to this other one, which I liked, which was the scene about quid pro quo between, No, not about the movie. Not quid pro quo, the movie. About the scene where Starling and Lecter have this...
Oh, not the movie. Oh, so all of these are based on
scenes in from Silence of the Lambs.
Okay. Okay, thank goodness.
So it's the quid pro quo scene between Lecter and Starling.
Please, never make me think that you like that movie again.
I made it clear last week.
I still haven't been able to punch Damien in the face. This is so annoying.
Yeah, he's hiding.
I'll have to wait till next week.
I have
to
call him and ask him if he's listened to the last episode. He hasn't told me explicitly yet.
If he hasn't, then he hasn't. And you know this. We would both know if he had.
He'd probably find me on campus one day and just start killing.
Yeah.
Anyways, like, is there anything else you want to say about that? Like,
I thought it was okay. It was kind of funny.
Put the fucking poodle in the basket.
That was kind of awesome. But yeah, nothing much else to say about Hannibal. Oh, wait, no, Hannibal Lecter wasn't in there. You know
he
what?
Wasn't in that
I
scene.
Do have something to say about it. Why was Hannibal Lecter not in that scene?
Well, because he isn't in that scene
I
in
don't
the movie.
Care. Why didn't they find a way to put him in there?
He was one of the backing singers at the
end. He could have just jumped into the well and started eating the lady.
But then that wouldn't be true to the story. Like,
well,
like I'm sure they could have done a lot of things with Watchmen, and then we would have killed Zack Snyder one bit by another.
Well, I'm still not sure about that, because I haven't seen the whole movie yet.
All right. anything else you want to talk about?
Anything else I want to talk about? You know what? Let me see here. Yeah. Oh, you know what I want to talk about? And it's not in your bloody news.
Okay.
Your notes that you denied me this one. Anne Hathaway has been cast to play Judy Garland in a biopic. What do you think about this, Andrew?
Oh, well, first of all, like, because I threw out the story, I haven't fully read it, so right, I'm about to look it up to make sure, but is it true that it's final?
It seems fairly final. It may be still in the making of, but it seems fairly final.
Yeah, I'm searching.
Right there, you got... Okay, here we go.
I'm looking for one where they actually tell me enough
details. Hathaway set to star as Judy Garland. How about that one? I love it. Andrew's looking at all of these articles. He's scrolling through and everyone... And he clicks on all of these articles. And the only ones he actually clicks on are the ones that don't say Anne Hathaway to play Judy Garland.
This article here on Film School Rejects talking about... Uh-huh. It doesn't make it sound like it's final. It makes
it sound
more.
Well, this was 2 days ago. There have been articles that came out today.
Okay.
I'm sure, like, you know.
Last one in my RSS feed is from We Are Movie Geeks, which came out on the 24th, which was yesterday.
Let me see if I can find something on Gordon and the Whale.
This is what happens when Damien doesn't come and screws up our entire discussion.
Well, listen, let's pretend that it's final. What are your thoughts?
All right, imagining this is true. Well, you see, here's the first problem, right? After watching Rachel getting married, I believe Anne Hathaway is a great actress. It's just that, kind of like Beyonce, she doesn't get the chance to do those kinds of things. Like Beyonce, I hope you can agree with me. There are some songs which she shows that she can sing, right?
Yeah.
However, the type of music she does on a regular basis doesn't allow for her to be all like, I'm going to be a great singer like, who knows, Bonnie.
Bonnie, yeah. Bonnie's an awesome singer.
I meant to say Bono.
She is amazing, Bonnie, and her backup singer, Clyde.
I meant to say Billie Holiday. Why did I say Bonnie? You see, I had B in my head.
First of all, you told me already that you meant to say Bono. So
no, that was just going off of Bonnie. So, you know, I started out with B in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got Bonnie for some reason. And uh-huh. I said it. And then while you were making fun of me, I switched to Bono because I was working off of Bonnie. And now that I've fixed it, I'm correcting myself 100%. I meant to say Billie Holiday.
Lame.
Right? So just like that, I know she can sing and she can do it. It's just that the kind of songs that she tends to sing doesn't allow for that. She does the more poppy, shitty songs.
Wait, sorry, hang on. How does We Are Thrilled to Have the Brilliant, Talented Anne Hathaway portray stage and screen legend Judy Garland not sound like a confirmation? By the way, those are words straight out of Harvey Weinstein's mouth.
Didn't I tell you a couple episodes ago, don't believe anything Weinstein says?
Weinstein!
He still hasn't given me my proper Grindhouse DVD.
That bastard. I told you, man. It needs to come out so I can get it. I want a big, deluxe, awesome DVD that has the extended cuts of both movies plus the all-encompassing Grindhouse reel. That has both movies with the trailer stuck in between.
Yeah. But unfortunately, it's Weinstein's company that controlled it, so we're all screwed there. but yeah, back on point. As I was saying with the whole, you know, Beyonce and can sing but doesn't.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Anne Hathaway. I believe after Rachel getting married that she can act and is a wonderful actress. However, she doesn't get the opportunity to do it a lot. And I'm sure that this Judy Garland film will give her that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't know that much about Judy Garland, so I'm not sure about...
She birthed Liza Minnelli.
Okay, there. That doesn't tell me much about her character.
She looked over a rainbow once.
Once again, that's probably the only movie with her that I've seen,
yes.
Which is why I don't know anything about her. I mean, other than she's one of these actresses from the Golden Age, which are put up on a pedestal as the amazing...
She had a very odd voice. There's that.
Oh, okay.
So does her daughter.
So, yeah, I don't know what really to say about Hathaway playing her other than I hope it becomes another movie in which she shows that she can be a great actress.
Well, you know what I think? I share your opinions on Rachel getting married. I thought it was an amazing movie and I thought she was fantastic in it, which is why when I saw this news article, I said to myself, this is going to be wonderful. This is great because Anne Hathaway is clearly a good actress. A wonderful actress, and she's going to have another challenging role, not just another role where she's a princess or, you know, she's from some cartoon empire, place, land, whatever. But she's going to have something where she's actually going to have to pretend to be somebody realistic with emotions and, you know, ups and downs and in-betweens and everything, as opposed to just smiling for the camera and saying Shazam and something happens, some foolishness. So I hope that she does well. I'm pretty sure she's going to do well based on just her previous role alone. And that's what I have to say about that.
Okay, moving on. Is there anything else you want to talk about before we jump to all our new stuff that we have set up?
Not necessarily. I don't think so. I remember thinking that there was something else I like to talk about, but not sure. So we can talk about the new stuff, especially that last one that I saw you put up there. Now that I enjoyed looking at.
Oh, you mean the last new story?
No, the last one that you had on this screen here a while ago with a picture of a man.
Oh, we're getting there.
Okay, we're getting there. All right,
we'll start off with one that you shared with me. I need to start following this site because I didn't know about this one.
Okay.
Right. Apparently, David Cross is going to be doing some BBC show for Channel 4 with the guy from Extras.
Right? The guy from Extras.
right? With...
Yes, David Cross, the analropist. From Arrested Development.
Oh, Sean Pye yes. from Extras and all other Ricky Gervais writing shows, I think.
So everyone start writing to your friends / relatives / minor acquaintances who live in the UK and tell them to tape this for you and send it your way. Unless, you know, you have other means of getting said episodes.
I think my favorite way of saying what you're trying to say is how Dave says it on Screen Geek.
How does Dave say it? What does he say?
You have to use your special antennas.
yes. Everybody, go outside and put on your special antennae for this one. Yes.
the synopsis of this show, which is called The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret, is a culture clash comedy he has written with Sean Pye. It centers around a US executive who finds himself out of his depth when he's mistakenly sent to run a company's UK arm.
Will Arnett is also in talks. Will I did Arnett's not even realize that. Okay, so Will Arnett, who, if you have been watching stuff with David Cross in it, if you've seen Arrested Development, you know him as Gob. or Job, depending on how you prefer to pronounce his name. Or if you've seen him, he's been in quite a few movies. He was in Risk Cutters for a while, which is fantastic, and you still haven't watched it.
Still haven't
watched
it. You need
to watch it. He was in all sorts of movies. The Brother Solomon, which wasn't a bad flick. He was in Blades of Glory, which I enjoyed. He's a huge minor character actor in, or I shouldn't call him a character actor, a minor role kind of guy in comedies nowadays. And I hope that he tries to get over that because he's a great dude. But anyway, back to the actual point. We're talking about this David Cross show. I don't love the story, but I think the story could work. It sounds very similar to, say, a Mr. Bean story. You know, okay. this guy, this dim-witted guy just all of a sudden looks, or maybe you wouldn't even say looks because he's out of his depth, but just stumbles into this job as a huge executive running this, you know, big firm. And I'm sure he's going to do extremely stupid things on the way. And I'm sure that's what's going to be funny about the show. And again, it's British television, which means he can easily get away with a lot more than he would on American television. Except for maybe FX. FX is actually really good with what they show.
And HBO.
Well, no, HBO is a given. It's cable, man.
This looks really interesting because, I mean, Arrested Development I wasn't a huge fan of. I still haven't watched all of season one, and I think it was because I'm not a huge fan of it. But I definitely love David Cross in it and Will Arnett. And David Cross has proven to me time and time again that he's an amazing comedy actor. Especially in a lot of films. Like, even in his short role in Eternal Sunshine, he was amazing.
He was good, but that wasn't even him being funny. He had a couple lines that were funny, but he was a serious actor in that movie.
And also, that short that I saw, the Michelle Gondry short that I found earlier this year.
Yes.
Where he plays a pile of shit.
No, he doesn't...
David Cross is a shit.
Doesn't lay a pile of shit, does he? Doesn't David Cross give birth to the pile of shit?
No. Michelle Gondry gives birth to the pile of shit, which is David Cross, and then the pile of shit follows Michelle Gondry
and
around.
And then he becomes a neo-Nazi. Yeah. Right.
Like, okay. That was hilarious.
Actually, I love Michelle Gondry. I love David Cross. I didn't much like that short.
Well, it was nice.
Yeah.
It was kind of odd, like more odd than the usual
exactly,
Michelle Gondry, but it was still funny for me.
The concept is funny, but the way it was put off, I was not enthused that much by it.
Okay, but all right, what else is there about, like, is there something particular about David Cross, like...
Anything particular about him? He's a funny, funny guy. Have you ever seen some of his stand-up? He's hilarious. He also had this show that did very well that I still, for the life of me, have not really watched properly, and I should, that really jump-started his career, which was... or maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe his career was... It was kind of going from before, but I think that pushed him into the mainstream, which was the show with Bob and David.
You mean the Mr. Show?
Mr. Show, thank you. Mr. Show with Bob and David.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that, right?
Yeah, I kind of remember a couple of clips here and there.
Yeah, it came out when I was young and not into that kind of thing.
And
it was on HBO.
And you probably shouldn't have been watching
exactly.
It.
Exactly. So it's hard, and I really need to catch up with that one. But that's where he started off, and I have seen some clips, and it's hilarious. And it was what, for good or bad, that show birthed Tenacious D. Did you know that?
Did it?
It did.
Oh,
Tenacious
that's awesome.
D started off as a skit, a part of Mr. Show, and then they even actually got their own show on HBO because of it, which was crap, except for the songs. But then all the songs that were on the show went onto the first album, which was amazing. So you essentially watch the show by listening to the album, or listen to the album by watching the show, whichever one you do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right, but we're going to get into the next news item, and I'm going to let this video that Ricky Gervais released...
Oh, you're going to let him speak for himself?
Break the news here.
Okay, so here we go.
Ricky Gervais with me, Matt Robinson. All right. Co-writer, co-director. LA socialite. I don't know what that means. He comes from LA. I live in London. We're sort of like... I mean, it's sort of like
separated at birth.
Yeah. We've got some great news for you, haven't we?
It's very good news.
A release date for This Side of the Truth. That's what it's called. Not The Invention of Lying. Not Truthy Truthness. Okay? It's
Truthy
this...
McTrutherson.
Truthy McTrutherson.
Not Trutherer, which is the sequel to Liar Liar.
And the opposite. It's This Side of the Truth, out 25th of September.
US.
2009.
US only.
The rest of the world will have to wait a little bit, like everything else.
Oh, we're America. We've got to have it first. We want it first. Ooh.
Was that sarcastic?
Oh, we want to rule the world first. Sorry, we beat you to it.
September 25th.
Coming soon.
The
coming to a theatre near you if you live in America.
If not 3 weeks later, not a big deal.
Thank you.
Be glad you have movie theaters and not bombed out caves.
But if you don't live in America, then before it comes to a cinema, you'll probably have an illegal download. Don't do that, kids. That's theft. And floss. And don't do drugs.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. So your favorite, like more or less favorite comedian right now?
Is me?
Yeah.
Is Ricky Gervais?
Is he?
I wouldn't say he's my favorite. He is up there. He's very funny.
But he's definitely done a lot for like television for you right now.
Yes, he has. I love The Office, both, and I know some people will hate me for this, but both the British, his version, and the American version. I'm a huge fan of both of them. I'm a big fan of Extras. You are as well. So
yeah,
you don't act like he hasn't done much for you either. And I even love him in movies that he really has nothing to do with. For example, look at Stardust. He was fantastic in it. He even got to say, "Is he having a laugh?" in that movie. And I thought that was the funniest moment in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree about that. But I think his filmography right now isn't that special.
Well,
especially after that last movie he did.
Yeah, that one was not
Ghost
good.
Town.
Ghost Town was poor. Yeah. But how many other bad movies has he been in? Let's, you know, do the whole ratio thing. We've been through this with Steven Spielberg. You are like, oh, Steven Spielberg, he doesn't have, or he has a lot of bad movies. And then when we looked at it, the ratio was very good. So let's see what kind of a ratio do we have here.
He's done mostly stand-up.
Yeah, mostly stand-up.
The shows that we like. Hold on.
He's only done the one movie.
I'm not in the actor's genre. I was in his writer's credits.
Okay, so
Ghost Town, Stardust. Night at the Museum. He was in it for 2 minutes, but I found him funny for that minute.
I really didn't like that movie. But we can count it as a good one because a lot of people did.
What's for your consideration?
Oh, I can give it to you. I have it downstairs. I have another one. It's a movie with these guys that band together as it's almost like a Broken Lizard type of scenario where they're not actually in a named group as such, but these comedians like to do things together. Catherine O'Hara, I think is her name, is one of them. Also is Christopher
Eugene
Guest.
Levy.
Yes, Eugene Levy. Ed Begley Jr. is in a couple.
It's the same guy who did A Mighty Wind.
Yes. That's the one I have downstairs in my room that I could give you, which was pretty decent. I like that one. It's funny. And they also did Best in Show.
Okay. He's also in Valiant, which was a crap movie.
Valiant. Which one is that?
That was the CG. That was an animated film about the birds.
The birds.
With Ewan McGregor, I believe.
Oh, and
yeah, Ewan McGregor,
Tim Curry,
and
Tim
Hugh Laurie, and John Cleese. It was a bad movie.
I don't think I actually saw that one. Okay.
All right. Well, anyways, back on point. Like,
he didn't have much to do with those movies. Okay, Andrew, he's allowed.
Well, here is his first film in which where he's writing and directing.
I love the look of this cast. Right? Let's read it out for us.
No. I kind of wanted to go more into the synopsis.
The synopsis. Okay, let's talk about the synopsis.
So for anyone who doesn't know, this movie is a comedy. Duh.
I would hope so.
It's set in a world where no one has ever lied. And This writer has decided to seize the opportunity and lie and create a lie, which is why the title is This Side of the Truth, right?
And so, wait, it's not the truthiness?
No, he just told you it wasn't.
Shite, I thought you said that. Or something about truther and trutherer.
Be quiet.
Okay.
Right? So, I believe Ricky Gervais is the lead. I'm not sure. No one really... It isn't really shown clearly here.
He might be, he might not be, whatever. He wrote it, he directed, he's going to be in it. He's done enough work. Jeez. Give the guy a break.
Hey, if Ben Stiller can do it with Tropic Thunder, I'm sure Ricky can pull it off. But yeah, so, like, what do you think of that idea for a film? Like, you know, imagine a world where no one lies.
It's
not that no one can lie, it's just that no one does it.
Right, it is a bit kooky, but... At the same time, kooky works sometimes.
Can you imagine telling the truth to everyone all the while?
No, I can't. But that's why it could work. You can't imagine it, and then all of a sudden it happens, and I can just sense all of the awkward scenarios and situations that can occur because of this make-believe world situation that this lie puts them in.
I mean, it's been done before, but on a smaller scale. Usually what comedy films like this do is they usually have one character.
Oh, one character that
never
lies.
And anytime he's in frame, it's always that awkward scene where he just keeps telling the truth. And you're like, oh, I knew that, but I didn't want to say it out loud. you know, kind of thing. And it's funny. And... All right, you wanted to talk about the cast. You can see people like Jonah Hill, Jason Bateman, Tina Fey, Patrick Stewart.
Yes. Right? Also, I mean, these guys as well. Jennifer Garner, Rob Lowe, Ricky Gervais himself, Christopher Guest, who I just spoke of.
Louis C.K. is in it. Who you might
not
care.
You didn't like his show, but
have you seen his stand-up?
I've seen a little bit of it, and it wasn't funny.
I thought it was funny.
Okay, I haven't watched enough to know whether it's funny or not. I saw one line, and I said, John Hodgman
is in it.
Yes, but you know who else is in it?
Who?
The man, Jeffrey Tambor.
Oh, yeah.
He was also in Arrested Development.
Yeah. They even have his picture here for IMDb.
Yes, the Arrested from Development Arrested picture. Development, yes, with the, I don't even know what the hell to call that, the do-rag.
That was not do-rag. That was, a bandana kind of thing.
Yeah, whatever it is. It's something. Anyway, let's go back to the cast and see if there's anybody else we recognize. No, nobody.
No, no.
But there's
really
a lot of nobodies. Can I tell you? This is at least 30 people that I'm looking at here.
Yeah, but that's what you... I don't know. Let's just go off that. But... all right. Jonah Hill, I love him. He's hilarious. Jennifer Garner still annoys me to death.
Uh-huh.
Right. Jason Bateman, I'm kind of 50-50 on him. People's complaints about Michael Cera are the same complaints I have about Jason Bateman.
He does the same thing over and over again, that one.
Right. However, I kind of like Michael Cera. So I feel really odd saying it, you know? Tina Fey, I love her, even though I still haven't gotten into 30 Rock properly.
30 Rock is hilarious.
I mean, just from her SNL stuff.
You need to watch it.
Patrick Stewart. I mean, whenever he does a comedic role, it's hilarious. Do you remember his appearance?
Yes.
In not even in Extras, in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
It's good to be the king.
I love that bit. You know, I think... And he's a narrator, so he's not really going to play a huge role other than...
Yes, but you know he's going to say some goofy things.
I want him to, like, appear at the end and be like on... You know, that final climactic scene where he's sitting on the bench and he tells the dude, like, go and get the girl or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, like Chef says, you know, go and get the clitoris.
Spoiler alert.
No, but that's
a movie
that's about 15 years old.
Yeah,
come on,
I know,
guys.
I'm just joking.
Come on. It's not a spoiler if it's already been spoiled. However, are we done with this? I see you're looking at Christopher Guest. Do you know that he's a sir?
He's a sir?
He's a sir.
Whoa,
and he's married to Jamie Lee Curtis.
So yeah, I guess we've gone on as much as we can, but... Yeah, this is definitely a good thing, and I don't think we've actually said it. Wait, no, the announcement said it.
Oh, when it's coming out?
When it's coming
September 25th,
September,
right?
25th is the date that's been set.
For the US, but when is the British release? Did they not just say that Britain is getting the early release? Oh,
no,
later?
They're saying the US get it first.
Oh, I couldn't hear because, you know, you were pulling in and out the headphones and I hadn't actually watched the video and I thought he was flipping it on its ear. I thought he was saying, haha, look at you, you always get it first, now we get it first. Okay, that's
sucks. No, he was playing all the other countries complaining that the US get it first.
I see. Anyway, are we done with that one?
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question to ask.
Okay.
I don't know if you've read any of this story. It's been on every single site. But, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing this guy's name, Mark Millar will definitely...
Mark Millar.
Probably. Millar, is it Millar?
It's Millar.
Whatever. Mark Millar with an A will definitely probably not... have anything to do with any Superman sequel that comes out after this. Now, you know my take on it. You know that I actually liked Bryan Singer's version and would like to see us... That if a sequel comes out, would like to see a Bryan Singer sequel. Because I'd like to see where he goes with his thing. But what is your take on it? Did you think that Millar should have gotten the job instead of Singer? Do you think that this is a good or a bad or maybe just... an indifferent thing
right,
that has happened here with this right, property?
I have to ask you something first before
okay.
I answer.
What's that?
Two questions. Number one, you know who Mark Millar is, right?
All I know of him is that he had something to do with this and that he wrote Wanted. And I think he wrote Kick-Ass.
Yes. He's the guy behind Wanted, Kick-Ass. And there's another one which I haven't read, a war comic book.
Okay.
Do you know the story that he was proposing?
Something about a 3-movie arc. I think Superman dies in the end. Not sure. The details are fuzzy. I read the early articles way back when, because this story has been around since, what, at least 6, 7, 8 months ago when he
started.
Well,
that was...
Yeah.
It wasn't that long. It was like 2 or 3 months ago when he made the pitch.
You know how I am. I read these things and then I forget about them immediately. So I read the initial pitch and I remember thinking, interesting, but why are they going with this guy when... Bryan Singer did such a good job, and so I don't remember much of the details.
Well, all right. to begin answering, number one, yes, I'm very happy he's not doing this. I mean, just seeing how he hoard himself for Wanted makes me never want him to have anything to do with a film ever again. I'm worried for Kick-Ass. I love the I love the comic so far, Kick-Ass. However, they produced the film with only 3 issues released. What can they do, right? They don't know. I mean, Mark Millar probably was hands-on with the film and like told them where the story was going to be going and the arc that he had planned for his comic book.
Maybe they plugged something into the back of his head and, you know, ran it through a probability matrix and then decided every story that he may or may not write for Kick-Ass and then put it through another, you know, matrix of questions and answers and then found out exactly what the rest of the Kick-Ass story would be.
Well, maybe that's a whole lot better than asking Mark Millar to write some version of his story which is a complete and utter waste of time rather than just reading the book.
Okay, so did Millar actually write the screenplay for Kick-Ass?
I'd have to look it
up. Okay, don't look it up. Whatever, who cares? Yeah, he may not have. Anyway, please continue answering your question.
Right,
Matthew Vaughn
is the director.
Mark Millar has because he wrote the comic book.
Yeah,
he has
Jane
to get
Goldman
credits.
is writing the screenplay for Kick-Ass, just to let you know. But the thing about it with the Superman, I thought the idea was semi interesting as like in the comic book world, right? It's a lot easier to get away with these reboots. You know, people are complaining all the while about movie reboots, but I guess the studios are being ridiculous with it nowadays.
They are. I'm actually getting a bit tired of them, though. Yeah. I'm not certain I could say yes or no yet.
You know, I mean, the comic book world gets away with it a lot easier because you'll still have the regular serials going on of the regular Superman stories, which will be as crazy as usual. And then one guy will come along and be like, hey, I want to tell this certain story and it'll be a 10 issue comic and this will happen and stuff. They'll be like, sure, and then you do it, and then only the people interested in that artist or that thing will end up reading it, and they'll forget, and then but the regular Superman story will continue as is, right? So the question is, one thing you'd have to ask yourself is, do you view reboots as studios saying that we're going to restart and forget entirely and never come back to the old version? Or should they view it as this is going to be a complete standalone version of this character? And I think if they were to do it like the comic book world, where it's just a standalone version and everything that came before would eventually be dealt with, but just in its own time, I think it wouldn't be so bad for the reboot argument that people are always going over, if you understand what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
But in reference to this story, as I said, it might be semi-interesting, but since Mark Millar already fucked up his own comic book, I'm afraid for what he would do to other people's things.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you don't know how much... You kind of look at Wanted and you say it's a fun movie.
No, actually, I told you from the get-go, from the first moment I left that movie, I told you I thought it was awful.
Oh, okay.
I hated that movie.
But I know a lot of people who a lot of my friends who watch it and like it mainly because it's a huge...
I know a lot of people who look at it and say, that was the best movie of the summer, bar none, better than The Dark Knight.
You know?
I know people who say that. Though I'm not like Damien, I don't think The Dark Knight got snubbed for the fucking Oscar. I don't think it's the best movie of 2008. But guess what? It was a pretty goddamn good movie. And you cannot, in your wildest dreams, think that Wanted was any better than it. And I'm sorry, I've interrupted you again. Please continue.
I've completely forgotten what I was talking about. You've completely... You know what? Let's move on. The difference between the comic book and the movie are just so fucking huge that it annoyed me. And people can go through and look at that and see it as a fun action film. I can kind of understand it for people who haven't read the book, you know, because you don't have anything to base it off of. And I know I'm kind of being unfair with trying to compare them, you know, and not letting the movie stand alone. But sometimes it's like a baby crying at 2 a.m. It just attaches itself to my spinal cord and I can't let go. Like, it just makes my hand start typing all sorts of mean words about the movie. And the fact that Mark Millar himself who came out, right? You know, it's one thing if someone just gets the rights from you and then says, hey, I'm going to make the movie, and they just lock you out of the room. But Mark Millar was heavy in the advertising of this film.
Yeah, he was. And I remember he said that he thought it was a fantastic movie, didn't
no,
he?
No, not even just that. He said it was page for page for at least the first 50 minutes, which up until the fifth minute, it went off key. And I mean, I'm not being as much as a nitpick as certain people can be with the whole comic book to movie thing. Right, where people would be like, oh, he was drinking coffee instead of tea. You know, I mean, there is a huge difference in the book to movie, you know, and it just annoyed me when I went, because I had read the book before I went, and I'm just getting into the whole comic book thing now, and yeah. Now I understand when people are comic book fans, right? I used to be like, you guys are crazy, but no, I understand now. There's more to comic books than the regular Spider-Man.
Oh, yes, and you definitely converted me there with such titles as Preacher and
Watchmen.
Fables. Well, you didn't convert me with Watchmen. I got that myself.
No, someone gave it to you before I had the chance to buy it. And yes. I had read it before that and was shouting at you to read it.
True, but I wanted to read it.
Anyways, you have read it now.
Yes, I have.
We are all in unison.
Okay.
Right. No, is there anything you wanted to say about this?
Not really. I wanted to get your take on it. Like I said, you know my take on this already. I think that his storyline, I remember thinking his storyline being interesting, but at the same time, I didn't like that they were going against Bryan Singer. And I didn't like that, you know, everybody seemed to hate on Bryan Singer's version when I thought it was a fine movie.
They're all crazy.
I know.
These are all people who think The Dark Knight was the best movie.
You're
of last
right.
Year. Anyways, moving on to the next news item. Wait, is there something you want to
there
talk about?
There's something I want to talk about.
Okay,
just
what
came
is
up
it?
On the interwebs. It may be an old story. Okay? Might be an old story. I'm going to put that out from now, but I know it's one that is going to be near and dear to your heart, Mr. Robinson.
Am I going to have to kill you after you say it?
No, I think you're going to jump for joy and hug me right in the middle of this
show.
Is
Tarantino coming on the podcast?
Almost. Last year, we learned that Hayao Miyazaki's latest animated feature.
Oh, I know what you're talking about already.
Ponyo on the Cliff by the Sea would be seeing an American release sometime in 2009 with an all-star cast that includes Matt Damon, Tina Fey, Kate Blanchett, and blah, blah, blah. The movie has already grossed $153 million in Japan, and guess what? It's coming to America on August 14th.
Well, the only problem I have with this story is I don't live in America.
I know, but you know what that means for us. We are essentially on America time or later.
No,
hang
here.
On, we are on America time or later. If it were to come out here, you know that August 14th is the date to watch for. That's why.
I'm not going to go. I wouldn't go.
You wouldn't go? Why not?
Because then I'd have to watch it with the English dub.
What the hell is wrong? Okay, listen. I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask, you know, everybody who is not in our chat room tonight. Why does it matter? Now, I understand. You really, you know, you want to see the film as it originally was. All of that good stuff. However, the closest Andrew has ever come to me with a sane argument is that he doesn't like to listen to the dub because it sounds weird. And the voices are strange. And they talk with weird intonations. Well, guess what, Andrew? When you listen to the Japanese or the Chinese or whatever language it bloody well and is in, the intonations and all of that thing sound weird. It's a cartoon. Most of the time, the voice acting is over the top and just ridiculous. It doesn't matter which language it is in. So please, if you can, and I don't know if magically, you know, some big crowd of Japanese / whoever Japanime fans are going to talk to me through the microphones here and tell me why is it that you need the subs instead of the dubs.
All right. First of all, it's not the subs that I'm bothered.
No,
it's
I know.
Dub,
it's the
right?
dubs, but
right?
you know no. what I'm saying.
All right. Let's take anime out of the question here. Right. Let me think of something. Let the Right One In. You've seen Let the Right One In, right?
That doesn't count.
No, I just want to ask you.
I want to say I have seen Right One In. That doesn't count because I know exactly what you're going to talk about. You're going to talk about how they messed up the
No, okay.
As long as you don't use that as
a
reason.
That's actually a later news item to discuss.
All right.
Right? But, all right. You've seen that film, right?
Yes, I have.
Can you imagine just watching that film with an English dub?
Sure.
Like, have you ever watched like old kung fu films and seen the dub over and the mouth and everything? And
yes, I have.
And like, what are your feelings on it? I mean, with the old kung fu films, it's kind of trashy and you laugh at it. However, like, think about it with Let the Right One In kind of
no,
context.
Well, first, the thing about it was, first of all, I think that the kickers are fantastic when the dubs are on. I think that's amazing because it's hilarious. However, that's not what I was talking about. I was specifically talking about cartoons because I completely understand real action because guess what? The mouths move properly. When you look straight in somebody's face, you will see them make a certain word. And when that word is different, you will know for a fact that that's not what they said. However, in cartoons, it's not so simple. Most of the times, especially in Japanime, it's just open, close, la 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 la. And the mouth isn't even in, you know, like a proper mouth form. It's just a black O.
Okay.
So, and most of the time they try to get it right and it doesn't look awful to me. So, again, please.
Okay, all right. Second piece of the argument has to do with translations. Right? I mean, we're going to see this. We're going to see.
No, listen. Hang on. Okay. I will be even more specific. Let us assume, okay, that these people have not done a terrible job and have not made the characters say things that were completely different from what they were saying in Japanese or whatever the hell.
Oh, well, you see, here's the thing. You know, I'm going down the 3 points and you have to give me a chance to go through
them,
right?
No, but I don't care about those 2 points, right?
The first point, you don't care about it.
I'm not saying I don't care as in I don't care. The first point, I wasn't talking about live action. I actually understand that and I agree with you on that one. Second, I'm not talking about when they make a huge mistake because then, of course, I would agree with you there. It doesn't make any sense. I want to know why it is that you tell me that, oh, it sounds weird, and that is reason enough.
All right, hold on. I'm getting to that. That's the final point. However, I'm not talking about the fact that they've made a huge mistake in the translation, right? I mean, as we see with the story we want to talk about later with Let the Right One In, they do make huge mistakes. However, when talking about foreign language, and this is especially with Japanese, right? Because I kind of studied it for a little while, and on and off, I read up a couple of stuff, and I know a few things, but it's very ambiguous a lot of the times whenever people talk in Japanese. However, it's specific at the same time, meaning that in Japanese, when you say something, it's specific to context. However, when you translate it into English, because of how general English is as a language and how we express ourselves, it's very difficult to translate it. And this could be a problem in the subtitles as much as the dub. However, here comes the huger problem. When they're dubbing it, they tend to force themselves into the time limit of saying something as long as the Japanese person had to say it. And when the translation ends up having to be something huge, they have to then reconstruct it into this weird version of itself, which doesn't give you the proper feeling that the original gives you, right? So as you know, speaking English, I mean, I'm horrible at it, right? People mean a lot of different things, even though they say the same thing. They have the same meaning, even though when they say it in different ways, it really tends to have different inclinations. I'm even wondering whether I said that correctly, right? So that is one problem with dubs due to the time constraint that people force upon themselves so that it doesn't look weird when they dub it. That's one problem. Which, can you agree with me? That's actually something that would be a problem for you.
You're saying that because they need to force themselves to speak within the same amount of time that the Japanese people spoke, that they must change certain things?
No, they tend to, because whenever you translate Japanese to English, it tends to be quite verbose, and then trying to change that into English from the specificity. That's the third time this week I've tried to use that word. How specific Japanese is to how general English is, and you lose so much in the translation.
So you are saying that that there is much lost between the two languages?
Yeah.
And why then, Andrew, is it that subs are better than dubs? What is it that you don't lose when you read it that you do lose when you hear it?
You're going to lose anything both ways, right? I understand that that's where you're going, right?
Okay.
However, you lose less via the sub because they're given more room to express themselves rather than having this time limit to verbally express it. They just write it on the screen, you get two lines, and you read it quickly, and you move on to the next line that's being said.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot easier than reading these two lines quickly and then getting it out of the way, rather than him trying to fit those two lines into a 5-second speech, right? And then he ends up having to cut that into half a line to fit it in.
Well, couldn't it also be argued that because you're reading all of these subs, that you're missing out on so much visually?
People can say that, but I mean, I've watched a lot of anime and I've gotten over that. I used to think that I would miss that, but number one, usually there isn't a lot of talking during the action. So,
well, during the action, sure, but right. Even no, but when it's not action, I mean, yes, some Jap anime is just strictly regular cartoons and, you know, there's not much detail to be found, but there are a lot of stuff
and
that are just visually captivating, and you know, you could miss out on a lot of it even in mid-conversation. You see all of these minor details that you'd love to see that you don't, maybe because you're reading a bit too much.
Agreed. However, it's like it's something I've learned, let's just put it that way, in that I can read it and I can still get the whole feel of the film and see everything that's going on. It's just something I've gotten used to.
Yeah, but you see, the thing is, right, it's not that I'm bashing you per se. I am a little bit, which I probably shouldn't be. But I'm just saying, okay, I just wanted to know why it is that you prefer one over the other so vehemently. Honestly, I can do both. I can do either. But you can't. And you can't to such a point that whenever I watch one with you, I make sure that it's dubbed. Right?
All right. I think it has to do with the fact that I've been burned so many times, right? That generally, if you find an anime, the dub is horrible, right?
Why do you right, say the, that? The, I know you right. like Nausicaa, right? The dub. You think Nausicaa, the dub is okay.
No, Disney, what has happened with all the Miyazaki films now, right, is Disney bought up the entire Ghibli
right.
franchise, and they have put in the money into getting good actors to do the dubs. So most of the Miyazaki films are pretty decent.
Do you think that most character actors, the original character actors in the Japanese anime, do you think they're all that great? Do you think they're do you think they're of the level of, say, you know, a Billy Crystal and all of those guys that Disney gets?
Yes.
Why? For every single Jap anime?
Well, I think
every single Jap anime ever made.
Well, no, kind
of
like.
Do you think even a lot of the good movies that you like, the movies that you're like, oh, these are awesome? Do you really think the voice acting is that good, or you would have thought the voice acting was that good if your heir was a Japanese heir?
Because
that's what I'm getting at. It's not that
I was coming to that. But see, I was still in the translation point, you know. I know you've jumped me into point three, you know, the actual voice acting, right? You see, here's the thing. I can't really say for sure because I understand English and I've watched all the English movies. I like English voices, like, and I tend to, and I'm an audio kind of person. I learn through audio a lot better. Like if I'm watching a movie and someone is covered in 5 tons of makeup and I don't know who the hell it is, as soon as he opens his mouth, 90% of the time I can tell you who it is because the voice, the audio, I always get it, right? With Jap anime and Japanese actors, I tend to enjoy them more. And I mean, there are bad ones, right? I mean, you can't avoid it. In any film industry, there are bad actors, right? But with the Japanese the Japanese dubs, like, I tend to enjoy them more because it's a Japanese film. They have the culture, the tone right for the culture, for the film.
How do you know? When did you ever even go to Japan? That's right, you haven't.
Buy me the ticket now?
No, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, what? How can you justify what you're saying when you have nothing to justify it with?
Well, how can we justify anything we say about Le Vion Rose when we have never been to France?
No, I just said I like the movie. I didn't say that she was spot on to the performance of being this lady. I've never even heard this lady sing before. I don't know that. I don't know. I didn't know she existed before this movie was made.
That's
I
sad.
Just like the movie, okay? And now because of the movie, I might decide to go and get a couple of her albums. But hey, that's what movies are for.
Well, because of my love for anime, I've read up a lot about Japan. So I know, I wouldn't like to say that I know everything, but I know a little, you know?
But does all of that knowledge leave you to believe, or lead you to believe, that these voice actors are phenomenal and the best that you could do? You're telling, I'm going to tell you straight up, Andrew, most of these guys that do voice acting for cartoons are crap. English, Japanese, Spanish, Bulgarian, Europe, anybody. They're actors that couldn't make it. And you laugh as if it's not true.
First of all, I have to say that's completely wrong for Japan, in the case of Japan.
Why in the case of Japan? Why is Japan so different? Remember, you know, everywhere is
because,
the same.
Because the animated film industry in Japan is the backbone of the film industry in Japan. So most actors in the animated film industry are like the equivalent of Johnny Depp and friggin' Robert Downey Jr. to America. They take it seriously and they do it well. Like, I mean,
name me five.
I don't know their names.
Exactly.
Because I don't take the time to sit down. I mean, there are a couple that I can get by voice. Like, I can sit down and be like, oh, he's the dude from that other show that I like. Right? But I don't... And on top of which, because I'll butcher their names and I'll forget them because they're difficult to say and all of those things. I don't, like, up to now, I still don't know what the name of that guy is, the African French guy who was in Amistad. I don't remember his name because I know I'll butcher it every time.
Jimon Huson, isn't that
there.
His name, Andrew? He's been in so many movies.
Yeah,
since.
I just know him as the guy from Amistad. You know, it's one of those things that once I'm used to you, I stop, and especially if you have one of those kinds of names, I just don't remember.
Like
it.
Chewy.
Yeah, like Chewy. Even though I'm almost ready to say it's
Chiwetel Ejiofor, I
think. Yeah, so.
But anyway, I don't think we should really continue with this argument because it's going nowhere. But what I do want to say, I do want to clarify a few things because I made a couple exaggerations earlier. So I'm not saying that all voice actors in cartoons are crap. That was a huge generalization.
Just to let you know, for Ponyo, Matt Damon is one of the voice actors.
I know. But like you said, Disney is a different story because Disney pays the money. And holy shit, I hope they don't come for me. What's that about?
Let's just move on.
I don't know if you heard that out there, but we just heard.
Have you been using
loud...
your special antennas?
I think I have. Okay, anyway. What was it? Yes, I just wanted to clarify that I don't think I'll... actors that are in cartoons are crap. I think a lot of them are probably not, you know, on this pedestal that Andrew's putting them on. I think, as with any industry, there is a huge amount of people that are crap. There are a few that are okay, and a small, a minuscule amount that are fantastic. As with any, you know, any industry, any job, any skill, you're always going to have it like that. And I think that that is the case. And I just don't understand why Andrew seems to think that just because it's in another language, that means that everyone must be good. And that not only are they good, they're better than anybody. Better than everybody else. And I think I'm going to just leave it at that. Unless
well,
you have something else
all right,
to say.
I'm just
going to
lay it out. for the final statement, right? Why I like Jap over American dub, over English dubs for my animes, right? Number one, just to make it very clear, it sounds cool.
That's all it is, but yeah, keep going.
Number two, with the subtitle, you lose less of the meaning, as I've made clear. Right?
As you have said. Don't say you made it clear. You said that.
I said it, and that means I've made it very clear. Number three, it fits the tone of the actual film. Like, first of all, I was just talking about Let the Right One In. They're remaking it. Can you imagine that story in that setting with all American actors and just...
I don't see why it's an issue. It could be bad, it could be good, it could be in the middle. But you have to wait and see. Why is it that... Well, first of all, I don't think it should be remade in the first place.
Yeah,
let's give it that.
No,
but
we already know that.
At the same time, why do you think it's going to be bad? It's... If, you know, Quentin Tarantino was directing it and flipping Matt Damon was the lead and the...
Are we talking about Let the Right One In or are we talking about anime?
You know what I'm saying, though? No, I'm talking about Let the Right One In.
Because
I know it's about children, so you know what?
No. I wasn't going to argue that. You know, I was talking about the Tarantino thing. Because if we're talking about animes, I'd like to say that Tarantino is as much of a Japanese anime geek as more or less me, and he'd probably have the common sense to keep it in Japanese.
That's what he says. I think Quentin Tarantino says a lot of shit, but doesn't back it up much. Yes, he put cartoons in one of his movies. Whoop the freaking do! He paid somebody to draw some pictures. That doesn't mean he's a
and
connoisseur.
The language was in Japanese.
Yes, and that doesn't mean he's a connoisseur. Anyway, back to the point. All I was trying to say was, why is it that whenever people, especially you, I've noticed, right, look at this thing and it is shown hugely in this Let the Right One In thing, people look at it and they say, oh, it's a remake, therefore it's going to be awful. It doesn't have to be. You could have an all-star cast that is going to be great. You could have actually a bunch of nobodies, and it would be fantastic. Because it's not about whether somebody did it first or second. It's not about the notion that remakes are all crap. It's about the skill of the people involved and the talent, and how it is pulled off.
Agreed. I agree with you. Completely.
So I hate when people make massive generalizations like the one you just made a while ago about how the remake of Let the Right One In is going to be shit.
No, but you see, all right, you're talking about the way they pull it off, and that's my problem, the way they pull it off. And where I guess I'm just being general. I'm just going back to my idea of the animes. I've just been burned way too many times, right? When you find a movie like Let the Right One In, where it was just so unique, right? And so different. And to think that America immediately says, oh, it's so awesome, I have to go and remake it. And you know 99% of the times when they just have that idea in the back of their head and they shout it out and they buy the rights and they go and do it, it usually turns out to be utter crap. And also, because of how unique and different it is, just imagining that story played up with American actors in that kind of setting just feels... It just feels wrong.
First of all, America has absolutely nothing to do with it.
Hmm?
It could be fucking Spanish actors. It wouldn't make a difference.
Okay.
Right?
What they have to do in order for it to work for me is to completely translate the idea. Not the transcribe the story word for word, but the idea into something that was... That highlights a different aspect.
And why do you think they wouldn't?
Because they don't do it 99% of the time.
Do they really? Are you sure about that?
Well, I mean, I'm guessing the number, but if you call out like five remakes, I'm sure four out of those five are ones that were either bad or didn't need to be remade.
Well,
because the original did the same exact thing.
Okay, here's the deal, right? Personally, I think most movies don't... No movie needs to be remade.
I think...
So I don't think you should say it that way. Because no movie needs to be remade. But if it is remade, then you look to see if it's a good movie. No, let's like go through
for,
a few.
Like for
let's
example,
go through a few.
All right, all right.
For how about Ocean's 11?
All right, well, yeah, I was about to say that. That's the, that's the best example because I love the new version, yeah. But I didn't like the original when I got around to watch it. However, that I have to kind of, I have to say I might be slightly biased since I saw the newer one first.
True.
Right? And also, I'm not a fan of the old one is kind of like the old 60s Frank Sinatra style heist film. I wasn't a huge fan of that style of film. However, just as a side note, we're talking about remakes and stuff. Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3.
Yes.
That's been remade and it's coming out this year.
It looks
with Denzel and
it doesn't look
it looks
good.
Bad. However,
uh-huh.
I watched the original and I love the original.
Uh-huh.
No, and honestly, I could see that movie doing well as a remake. I can see them translating that well.
Okay, sure.
Just like how they translated the Ocean's 11
yeah.
idea, just updating the technology and having the script be as true as possible to the idea, I can see translating well. However, I don't think they've done it because the trailer looks horrible. And it especially comes out in this one point in the trailer where Denzel is going off somewhere and he's on the phone with somebody, I'm assuming like a wife, his wife or his daughter or someone, and she's like telling him, he's like telling her, oh, I'm going off to find the villain who has guns and wants to kill people, and she's all like, oh, just make sure you bring back milk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
cheesy
but,
stuff like that.
But guess what, you really can't judge it by its trailer. Watch the movie and then say it's gonna be
no,
crap.
I'm going to watch the movie.
I agree with you. It looks bad, but at the same time, don't say, you know what, I'm taking this as an example of a bad remake. Wait a second, it hasn't come out yet. You know,
no,
you haven't watched it.
No, what I was really talking about was a movie that's being remade where I think it has a good chance if it's done right.
Yeah,
you know, there's some movies which I look at like Let the Right One In,
yeah.
where I don't want it to be remade. I don't think they can do it. Because it
anybody can do no, and I shouldn't say anybody can do it.
I'm calling Uwe Ball for you.
Okay, no. You're taking me the wrong way. I'm not saying anybody can do it. It's like, have you ever watched the movie Ratatouille?
I just thought
okay.
about that.
I do not mean that anybody can cook, but what I do mean is that people who can cook come from the strangest places and can come from anywhere or whatever. You guys in the listening unit over there, you know, I see you in front of your computer. You know what I'm talking about. I don't mean that anybody can do this thing. I mean that it can be done and that it can be done by somebody. And you might not even know who that person is.
Well,
and hang on, I just want to say one more thing again. Remakes follow the same rules as people at work, as actors, as singers, as everything. A lot of them are crap. Some of them are decent, and a small, minute fraction of them are great. And that's how all things are, even in movies. A lot of them are crap, a few of them are good, and a minute portion of what is actually made is fantastic. And so once you recognize that fact and acknowledge it and learn to live with it, you're going to, you know, it's whatever. It could be good, it could be bad. Judge it when you watch it, but that's the way things go.
I have to agree with you on your idea of, first of all, don't prejudge a film, which I believe in. I really don't. I tend to watch everything I can, even if it's bad movies. I even sat down and I watched The Love Guru last year. That movie was horrible. Because I believe I should have my own opinion and I shouldn't just be saying it for the sake of doing it. I mean, I do it on occasion, like I did it with 24, right? But, I mean, that's me joking most of the time, right?
I must retort.
All right, let me just...
24 was not a joke. I remember that. Do you know how long 24 has been on? What date is today? This
isn't
is now
it,
2009.
Isn't it the eighth
season now? Came out in 2001. That was the first season. That is how long, 8 years it has taken you to watch the first episode of the first season. And all that time you've been, Douglas, this is crap. Douglas, why are you watching it? And now you come to me with your head hung low. your eyes down to the floor, and you say, Douglas, this show is good, and I say yes. So, Andrew, do not tell me about joking. Anyway, go on. You were talking.
Yeah, well, generally, I most of the times that I do this, I'm more likely joking, right? But, like, we all do it with trailers. When we see the trailer, we all go like, that looks like a movie that I'm not going to enjoy, so I'm not going to watch it, right? But at the same time, we don't go on the podcast and say, that movie is shit. That's the official statement, you know? I mean, there are a couple of movies we want to say it about. Like, I'm sure we want to say it for 12 Rounds.
Yes, we do.
However, we can't really say it because we haven't seen the movie. But we can kind of make a guess because we can go off of whatever knowledge we have at our disposal. Like, for example, people don't tend to remake films like that and make it well, especially for such original ideas. Especially
what was so original about this movie? Children were vampires. Oh, wait, sorry. Have I not ever read Twilight before? Have I not ever watched Near Dark that came out in like 1985? That's really original. Children, okay. Vampires.
Whoops. There are people out there who say that there are no more original ideas anymore. And I guess I have to agree with them whenever you generalize the idea, right? So when you generalize, let the right one in into the context of vampire children, then sure, it's nowhere near original. However, the thing about movies that I tend to find is that the originality is not so much in the genre or the basic idea, however, in the portrayal or the aspects that they try to highlight most.
Okay, all right, so tell me, and now just to clarify again, I'm not bashing Let the Right One In. I think it's a fantastic movie. I loved it. But what was so knock-me-in-the-face original about this movie?
First of all, how many vampire movies out there give you such a good romantic story
as Twilight? Was in it? Shannon would agree with me.
However, if you really want me to, I could pull up last week's podcast and see what you said last week.
Yes, I noticed she even made a comment on it. No, but look at True Blood.
Right. Okay, all right. You see, I'm going piece by piece.
I remember True Blood was actually written way before it became on TV.
Right? And that was a good show as well, and it's coming back this summer. I can't wait for it.
Yes.
Right. Right, so True Blood is also something that I consider somewhat original and new for this time, especially when we're getting so bogged down with shitty horror vampire films all the while, right? I love the fact that there were all these tiny details about... Oh, shit, I can't even remember. Is it Eli is the vampire? I can't remember. I haven't watched a movie in a long while. I know Oscar is the guy, is the boy.
Yeah, Oscar is the boy.
Is it... It's an E name.
I think it's just L or something like that. I don't know. Just
right. The interest, the vampire, the one who's actually a vampire.
Yeah.
They made it so interesting to see the development of the relationship during that film. The direction in that film was amazing. The visual style of the film was amazing. The storytelling aspect and even the mythology, the vampire mythology in that film. You know, all the little things about vampires, like they have fangs, they drink blood, all those simple things. There were certain aspects that they tweaked slightly or ignored and rewrote. Like, for example, everyone knows in vampire mythology that a vampire can't enter any abode without permission.
Oh, actually, right? Yes, I did enjoy that, what you're talking about.
They slightly changed that. Slightly.
Yes,
slightly.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that was an interesting take on the idea.
Yes, it was.
Right? It's just all these little things put together.
No, but what else though? Because
right?
I give you that there are certain incremental things that can smack you in the face. For example, I think Michel Gondry in general is just...
No, but that's
original.
More of a visual difference.
No, I know,
difference.
And that's a visual difference. Which? And actually, it's not something that's extremely new. It's not like, you know, he's like... I wonder what happens if I put the paint on the cardboard and I turn it around and I... No, he... these are things that have done been done before, but he did them in a little bit of a different way. And I'll give you that there are things that are incremental that can just punch you in the face. And Michel Gondry did that to me. But I just don't see what punched me in the face. Yes, there was that thing that you're referring to that I'm trying not to say.
Yeah, we're not going to say it.
Right? You know? that I thought was great. And otherwise, I mean, it was a great movie. The relationship was there. The vampire thing was there.
And also,
there was also a bit of Jaws-esque of a Jaws-esque
nature
to it.
And I love that scene.
Yeah.
But you see,
but other than that, it wasn't, you know, I didn't look at it and I said, whoa, this is the first time I've ever seen something like this.
And that's another thing. When it comes to visual style, director's visual style, that's something that you can't copy. I mean, you can, but it's not very easy to copy, right? And if you take a film like this where the director's visual style and the style of his storytelling is such an integral part to how much I enjoyed the movie, right? If you remake it, then there's something you're going to be missing. It's something that's going to...
Well, hang on. Would something be missing or would something else be gained?
Well, you see, that's the thing, right? Coming back...
Because you can't just assume that something is going to be missing and you can't just assume that nothing is going to be gained. What I'm saying is don't say that they mustn't remake something because it will never do well or it will never be good. Say... Maybe you don't want them to remake it because this was so great. And if not, just say, well, guess what? If they remake it and make it a bad movie, who cares? I still have the original. If they remake it and make it a good movie, fantastic. That's my take on remakes.
All right. I'm going to end this now because we've gone really long. I'm just going to make one last comment. Okay. I agree with you. However, I fear for all those people who end up watching the remake, if it's bad, and end up being so turned off because of how bad the remake is, and have never seen the original.
Okay.
That's what I fear.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Right? No, we've gone really long on that story. I'm going to skip the Let the Right One In subtitle story.
Yeah, we can just say it. We actually have made reference to it a couple of times. Let the Right One In, they have decided to change the subtitles from what was let out in the theatrical release and in the screeners sent to critics to some weird version of what was
there. And just
there.
Like what I was saying with the Japanese translations, they did a lot of tinkering with the English.
True, but again, like... I didn't, in our argument, I didn't want us to list this as a reason because this is an extreme that does not happen in general.
Yeah, but it was a real mess up. And if you happen to be one of those bastards who went out and bought the DVD, I'm sorry for you. Unless, of course, you understand.
Yes.
I can't remember. Swedish.
Okay, you, then you can just
then,
watch
then you're
the
fine.
Movie.
And just watch it without the subtitles. You're
okay.
Good.
No, I need to introduce this topic because it is one that is, again, Ponyo and the Cliff was close to Andrew's heart. This one is close to mine. Ever since I saw Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, I have dreamed about watching another movie based on a Hunter S. Thompson book. I have dreamt about watching it directed by Terry Gilliam, one of my favorite directors. I've dreamt about watching it with Johnny Depp in it, which it seems he is still going to be in.
He's still attached.
The Rum Diaries, finally, after years and years of me looking at on IMDb and seeing that it was in production, announced, maybe never going to happen. Looks like it's about to happen. And not only is it going to happen, Johnny Depp is still attached. I believe Benicio del Toro is still attached. And now Giovanni Ribisi is attached, who I actually think is a great young actor. I love him in most of the movies he's in. Yes, he's been in some crap. He's been in, for example, Gone in 60 Seconds. And that was, though I loved it at the time, I watch it now and realize how awful it is. Again, Nick Cage,
he was also
where
in
are you in?
Such classic films like Sky Captain of the World Tomorrow.
Oh, that was bad.
Right? But he was in good movies that I like Lost
Boiler
in Translation.
Room wasn't bad.
Boiler Room was good. I loved Basic.
Yes.
I like that movie. There was.
And can I say, even though it's a like show on NBC. He's fantastic in My Name Is Earl. Have you ever watched him in that show? He's
hilarious. No, I haven't seen him in that show. I only watch that show on and off, really.
But I think Giovanni Ribisi, though, now that I think about it, he's not that young. He's probably 30, 32. He is one of the better actors out there. And I would love to see him break out into the mainstream and become a leading role actor. Or maybe even not a leading role, but a supporting actor. Right now, he's not even a supporting actor. He's a supporter of the supporting actors. He needs to become like one of those second build guys. That's what I want.
I consider Giovanni Ribisi a poor man's and less pretty Ryan Gosling.
Yes,
mixed with Ryan Reynolds. Right?
Yes, because he can be hilarious at times. Right?
So I'm not as enthusiastic about his acting career. I mean, he's okay as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I'm with you on the Hunter S. Thompson thing and the Terry Gilliam and Johnny Depp thing, because Fear and Loathing is amazing, even though it's a film that I can't watch that often.
Oh, I can watch it night after night after night.
It's just
night.
Freaky.
It's fantastic.
Right?
You know me, I love those movies. I love that. I love Hedwig. I mean, come on, man.
But you see, at least Hedwig's a musical. I can do that. I can do that. You know, I can just put on songs and go like, oh, that's awesome.
I've got an angry inch.
But no. Do you know what the story of the Rum Diaries is?
I did when I looked it up and saw it 6 years ago, but I've forgotten about it and I never actually got around to buying the book. So no, at the moment, I do not know
the proper story. This synopsis is coming
from
Wikipedia.
Another journalist story, I think.
Right? It involves a journalist by the name of Paul Kemp who moves to New York for a small paper, and then the Daily News in Puerto Rico?
San Juan, Puerto Rico.
set in the 1950s. The novel encompasses a tangled love story of jealousy, treachery, and violent alcoholic lust among the American expatriates who staff the newspaper. Right? So,
Wait, sorry. Ex what?
I'm totally reading.
Expatriates.
Expatriates. I need to learn how to read.
Yes, you do.
I think it's just that I'm tired now for some reason.
Yeah.
It sounds like another awesome, like quirky Hunter S. Thompson-esque story, you know. And this is like one of the few books he's written which is like not set about himself. It's not the Gonzo story. It's not the Gonzo thing. It's
so
a complete fiction.
He's not going
fiction.
To be running around doing drugs and
well,
maybe
he probably has his
end.
Characters doing that, but it's not going to be a character called Dr. Gonzo. Or
by the way,
Thompson.
You know what? I'm just realizing. I just announced it a while ago, but I don't see Benicio del Toro's name anywhere. He was attached like the last time I checked, which was a couple of years ago. That annoys me. I like Benicio del Toro.
I love him, and what I really want to watch by him is the new movie Che.
Oh, Che, yeah. The two movies, you mean?
Well, yeah. I count it as one.
Oh, it's like Kill Bill in that sense?
Yeah. Even though I can't wait till the DVD comes out for Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair, which is the complete cut from Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
I want to see that. But
yeah,
anyways,
that would be fantastic.
But anyways, moving on, because I guess we've said in as much as we can about that. No more news at this point.
What do you mean no more news?
We're going long, man.
What do you mean no more news? I remember there being more news.
Alright, what do you want to talk about, that last item?
Oh! Yes, I really do want to talk about this.
Okay, all right,
I think it is a step in the correct direction.
Alright, go ahead, announce this one.
Warner Brothers has decided that what they're going to do is... they're going to switch up the DVD release thing a little bit. What they're going to do is there are a lot of Warner Brothers movies that are just not available on DVD. And you know what you have to do now to get them?
What?
Steal it. Or something.
But why would I ever do that?
I don't know. Special antennae and all. So what they've decided to do is instead of forcing you to try and find it on television and tape it on your VCR, which is no longer in existence.
No. We use DVRs.
Okay, we use DVRs around here. So you have to either watch it on TV.
Except when you try to build it yourself.
Exactly. We might go into that later. But yes, so they have decided that 5,000 of their movies that are not available on DVD will be available on DVD. And what they're going to do is they're going to just burn it for you. You send an email to Warner Brothers, you know, or you go onto their site and you say, this is a movie I want to watch. And they say, okay, pay me $20 and I will burn it and I will send it to you. And that's what they're doing.
I think that's an awesome idea. I mean, it's definitely going to, number one, make films available in a legal manner. So therefore, all of those people finding it in other manners have the opportunity. Mm-hmm. The question I have to ask is, do you think it will actually work?
I don't know if it will work or it will not.
We're talking about a burnt copy and for $20.
Here's the thing. I don't think it's going to be as simple as, hey, let me put this blank DVD into the burner that I have here. I think it's going to be a little bit more fancy than that. I'm sure they're going to come up with like a nice cheap looking color photo on top and the bottom isn't going to be, you know, purple. It's going to be a regular disc, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, and one other thing I like to say, I kind of browsed a couple of the films in this catalog that they're releasing in this manner.
Yes.
They're not exactly the films that you'd be looking for anyways.
Well, not maybe the movies that you or I would be looking for, but movies that somebody would be.
Well,
and at the same time, let's think about it. From a business perspective, there shouldn't be that much overhead. There will be some. But if this is an on-demand service, the resources that they're going to have to put towards this will also be going towards something else at the same time.
Yeah, and so, I guess it's better for them since they're not like putting out like a million copies and then no one buys it.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, the one thing that I will say about this is though it's a step in the right direction, it's not quite where they need to go. I think that...
Downloads?
There has to be some sort of download. We've had this conversation before. For example, with movie theaters. I don't think that when I go to a movie theater, I should be watching film. I don't.
No, I disagree.
No, I don't. You know why? Because film gets dirty, as we have seen with The Watchmen. Film gets burnt to the point where the picture is not there, which we actually saw in the last movie we went to, though I don't know if you noticed it.
Which movie did we last go to? There was some
burnt film in that one. The last movie we went to was...
International.
The International, which was, by the way, a horrid movie. Don't watch it. But film goes bad. And not only does it go bad, but especially in, you know, places like this in Jamaica here, where we have a theater that does not treat their product as well as they should, it goes bad on the second day.
Oh no, can I tell you one thing I found out through back channels, I will not name my source, that they actually do, to which is why we get movies late or we have to...
Oh, secondhand film?
Yeah, secondhand
yes,
film.
Yes, I do know that they do that sometimes, which is intolerable. However, well, it's not intolerable, but you need to at least get some film that looks good. Now, back to my point. I was just going to say that what they should do, and it's not that difficult, and it's not that insecure, is have their own private BitTorrent tracker. RSA up the ass, or whatever encryption they would like. Make sure that every movie theater has their own terminal that, again, is somehow secured. And each theater will pay for this terminal. So this is not something that all the studios are going to have to pay for. This is not a huge outlay for them. This is probably like a $1,000 or $2,000, or even let's say it's a $10,000 outlay by each Regal or each Hoyts or each Palace Amusement branch, which since it's being almost outsourced, since it's being spread up across all of these people, it's no big deal for them because they'll make it back within, I'm sure, a month at the most. I'm sure these guys make that much. Come on, wait, $10,000 per month? They can make more than that. I'm sure they'll make it in a week.
The question is whether the $10,000 costs more than the process of distributing the film to them now.
Of course it will, because guess what? You know what the process of distributing the film would be to them now?
Mm.
I mean, not now. After the BitTorrent thing, it's distributed. You just click a button.
I mean, right now, without the BitTorrent, like, they're doing it via mail or whatever.
It must be huge, because it has to be via some sort of mail, some sort of shipment, especially, you know, to get it from the States to foreign countries. it's about like what, 7 or 8 reels per movie, and each reel weighs a ton.
Yeah, but the question is who is footing that bill?
Somebody is. And whoever it is will save money if they do this. But like I'm saying, right? What they need to do is have these things passed digitally. Also have it, sure, if you want to put in your DRM, I don't like DRM, but if that makes you feel secure, do that until something better comes along. But not one of those DRMs that are like, oh, you can't watch it if you don't go online and do something. One of those DRMs that at least, you know, you've plugged in your password once on the computer and then you can watch it. Jeez. And you can put it on all your items and whatnot. But, yeah, digital is the way to go. And, again, this 5,000 DVD thing, step in the right direction, but maybe not quite where I want them to end up. So I hope they keep going in that direction.
I have to respectfully disagree, right? Because, all right, there are a few problems inherent in this proposal, right? The most obvious problem, right? Number one, since you're distributing it digitally, even if from studio to palace is secure, once they go from, they actually move from wherever palace is getting it to the theater, unless you've created...
No, you don't understand. I'm not saying that there's a central hub in Jamaica where they get the computer files.
Mm-hmm.
Each palace amusement theater must have one.
And that is what actually plays the file.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I can kind of work with that. However, I still believe people are people and we'll find a way around it.
Yeah, and you don't think we found a way, no? You don't think all of these cams online?
No, but you see, like, it's a difference between having to choose to watch a cam or someone in the theater realizing they can copy off the movie in perfect quality and hand it to you the day. I mean... people can do that here because we get movies 5 months late. But if they do it in the States, where they're more or less the first people to get the movie, and they're sending out perfect rips online on the exact day that the movie comes out, then that's just bombing the entire...
But guess what? Here is my... here is an assumption that I have made with my proposal, which is actually an assumption that the movie industry has made already. So it is not...
What's that assumption?
That assumption is that the people that work for each of the theaters are trustworthy.
That's not a valid assumption.
No. It may or not be valid, but it is an assumption that they have made. You know why they have made it? Because they give the theaters the movies. If they didn't think they were trustworthy, they would not give those theaters the movies.
No, but they give them in such a format that it's difficult.
Yes. But they still trust them. They still say to them, I'm going to give you this movie and I don't think you're going to copy it from me and steal it. They say that to them. And if they were to find that they did, they would not give it to them again. So, what I have said is just, this is another way to give it to these people that you still trust. The only way for your trust to be broken, the only way then, assuming your trust is not broken, which is what they're assuming, for this movie to get leaked online is for somebody to go into the theater and cam it.
All right, you know what? I'll leave that one alone then. I still believe I have an argument, but I'm going to leave it alone, right? Because I'm not in the mood to get into
You have an argument where you say, yes, there is a possibility that these people are not trustworthy. There is a possibility. You know,
whatever.
And guess what? When that possibility shows itself, you just cut them off. You tell them, I'm not going to give you this movie again, which I'm sure has happened and will happen.
Moving on to the next point and problem with this assumption. Well, this isn't more or less... this isn't really a problem. This is just me being kind of like my anime, right? I don't think I want it like that.
Do you like cigarette burns? Do you like seeing a man put his hand in front of a projector every time he needs to change a reel? Do you like scratches? Do you like big green lines in the middle of a film? Do you like holes where pictures should be? If so, then you have a then you should watch film. And I know there are a lot of people out there that say, "Oh, film is great. Film is this. Film is that." Guess what? You can. I don't want to say this because people will tell me I'm stupid, but I'm sure that once something has been filmed with film, that the same graininess, the same texture that you guys talk about will still be there when you convert it to digital, because you will see the same colors. What it is is you're taking a picture of the thing that you've already taken a picture of.
You're digitizing something which hasn't had a chance to... I don't know how to even say this, right? You see, I'm not that knowledgeable on the technology of actual film.
Nor am I, which is why that statement that I just made must be taken with a grain of salt, because that is an assumption that I am making. However, even if it is not true, I would say that the benefits outweigh the what's the opposite of a benefit, Andrew? We are both stumped, is that
negative?
Whatever, yeah, the negative aspects of the goddamn thing.
All right, here's one question, right? Can I ask you, like, how do you feel any difference between when you go to the theater, other than the horrible Palace Amusement bit, you know, where the film is that horrible that you can't even watch it, right? If it were decent, you know, or good quality film, but film nonetheless being projected for you, do you feel any different between watching that film on the big screen or watching the DVD at home where it's perfectly digitally mastered? And
yes, I do, because guess what? I know a lot of people are going to tell me because of nostalgia or whatnot, they love these things, but come on, nostalgia is one thing. Being serious is another. Cigarette burns are just not on. I know some people are like, ooh, but then you know it's a film and it's a movie and you're at the movies. I'm in a comfortable chair looking at a big screen. I know I'm at the movies. I paid to be there. So the cigarette burns are still going to be there if it's film. Unless you tell me they're going to do one huge reel of film, which then I'll be like, okay, sure. But then again, it's still going to get dirty after 2-3 weeks, even at the best place. And after you get there, you're going to be like, but the film is grainy. It's awful. Why are you going to watch something that doesn't look that good when you could watch something that does?
All right, I get you. I'm going to leave it out. Yeah. But digital is the way to go. However, I still think there are problems in your assumptions, and there's more to work out than what you think.
Oh, yes. No, I'm making a huge generalization in a lot of the things I'm saying, and nobody's going to take me on anyway.
One thing I think you should look at is, first of all, dealing with actual digital projectors in our theaters rather than that stuff, so that we can start being able to project digital mediums. Media.
Okay.
Shit, I'm sorry. Okay. Like, for example, have DVD projectors, and then we get DVD films rather than the reels.
However, yes, that still...
It still leads to my first problem of it be easier for them to thief it.
Yeah, that would be easier for them to steal it. Definitely.
But they do that in the States, though. So...
What do you mean?
They have DVD projectors and...
But do they have that for new releases?
Yeah. I think...
Where have you seen this evidence? I'd like to see it. You don't have to show me now, but you need to show me because I don't believe you.
I'll look it up, right? But we've been going on forever, and I want to get into our trailers.
Why do we want to get into our trailers? Hang on. I don't even think I've seen this trailer before, and I was looking at a lot of trailers today. Thirst, what is this?
This is the newest film by the director of... By the director of Old Boy. The director of Old Boy.
If it's a kicker and it's Asian, Andrew must watch it.
This isn't a kicker.
Even if it's not a kicker. If there is somebody screaming, or if there is somebody saying any teeny tiny bit of Japanese in there, Andrew must watch it.
I apologize to all the listeners just listening to the audio and not hearing the live chat, because this doesn't have any subtitles and it's completely in Japanese, so...
But imagine loads of people kicking each other.
So go and check out this trailer. The movie is Thirst.
Jesus Christ, I don't know what I'm going to do. 살이 썩어가는 나와 저처럼 모두가 저를 피하게 하시고 사지가 절단된 환자와 같이 몸을 마음대로 움직일 수 없게 하시고 불병을
떼어내고
살이 썩어가는 나와 저처럼 모두가 저를 피하게 하시고 사지가 절단된 환자와 같이 몸을 마음대로 움직일 수 없게 하시고 저를 지옥 속에 있게 하소서.
Andrew, I think I'm seeing a consistent theme in this week's podcast.
So we didn't need to worry about demons discussion.
I see vampires and I see foreign language films without dubs. What is your take on this film?
I actually think this movie looks really interesting.
Why does it look interesting, Andrew?
Because, like, all right, I can't tell you much about the story because there are no English subtitles and I don't understand that much Japanese, so I don't really know. All I can tell you is what I saw, in that the guy dies, he becomes a vampire, and he's going around, and he's actually a priest. You can see there's a shot with him in his, with the white collar, the white collar, right?
White collar.
And the style looks amazing, the visual style in the trailer looks amazing, and I kind of love that they made this unassuming man into this vampire, because he doesn't look like the kind of person who could beat the crap out of you and make you do anything, and on top of which, him being a priest, and also the fact that it's directed by the same guy who did Old Boy, which I think is an amazing movie, which unfortunately they're remaking
again. Don't say it's unfortunate that they're remaking it. Say that they're remaking it and I hope it's going to be good, or they're remaking it.
They're remaking it, and I hope, and I wish they never did.
Again, we get into the same argument. Jeez. Anyway, here's my take on the trailer. What did I see? Or let's first, what did I hear? I heard no English, so I have no clue what the story is really about.
Well, no.
I'm going through systematically. Also, what did I hear? I heard a very nice soundtrack. But that's all just music. That's just fancy lights and sounds. What did I see? I saw a preacher who became a vampire who sucked somebody's blood.
Sound familiar?
Yes, it does. And I saw a couple of visuals that looked okay. Does that mean that this trailer makes... Oh, okay, does that mean that this movie is going to be good? No, it doesn't. Do I think this movie is going to be good? No, I don't. Do I think it's going to be bad? No, I don't. I don't think anything because I really don't know what's going on here. This trailer helped me. No, it didn't. Sorry.
Well, all right. Screw you then. But I think there's even without the English, even without knowing what they're saying in the trailer, because, I mean, they do say a bit. You can hear them talking a lot. You can take away a lot just from the trailer, even without it. And I took away some. And it also...
What did you take away?
I told you already that I thought it looked awesome. The look of the trailer, the sounds, the style, the visual style, and just picking up on what I could from the visuals as to what the story probably is.
I've got one word for you.
What?
Medellin.
What?
Medellin.
But at least that had English, so you knew it was bad because they told
you. No, they didn't know it was bad. Everybody thought it was great.
No, but that's their fault. They're idiots.
Yes, anyway,
trailers,
you know,
are deceiving,
yes,
right? But this trailer, I think, was good. And on top of the fact that it's the same guy who did Old Boy, I want to watch it. So you're saying no to
all
the
right,
trailer?
Well, no, I'm not saying no. I respect that you have some brand royalty or loyalty wrapped up in this one. That's fine. I don't see anything wrong with this trailer. I think the visuals are great. And so based on that, I'd like to see something that I can hear and understand. But
I'm going to get you your Battlefish.
Okay. I wouldn't I wouldn't write it off. I want to look and see what it's about. But at the same time, I really have no clue so far. All I know is that it's a vampire that is a preacher. And that could be interesting if they take it certain places. So we'll see.
All right. Okay. Here's another trailer, the last trailer of the night. This one debuted today on Ellen, on the Ellen DeGeneres Show.
So we...
And this was my one of my top 10 must-see movies of 2009.
Yes, and listen, listen. By showing this trailer on the day it debuted, we are officially one of the first podcasts to ever show this trailer. So here you go. It is Where the Wild Things Are for 2009.
I didn't want to wake you up, but I really want to show you something.
That was the trailer for Where the Wild Things Are, one of my favorite trailers to come out today. Not that many others did. But actually, I could say to you that this is one of my favorite trailers that has come out in a very long while. The soundtrack, amazing. And you know why? Because that song is from the Arcade Fire, one of my very favorite bands, which is actually not only a song by them, but a song that I don't have. This version is a live version, which is not on any of the albums that I own, so I now need to get looking. Also, the visuals, amazing. I love the look of the CG. I love the fact that Spike Jonze got to finish his movie. Spike Jonze is officially the director of this movie, and that is amazing. I love him. I love him. I've loved him since I watched Adaptation, another fantastic movie directed by him. And I've seen a few of his music videos he's directed, which are great. What can I say? He's a different kind of dude. He makes a lot of good stuff. And I love the fact that there's only one line in this trailer, and it's just such an ominous line, such a like a big introduction, and then it shows you all of these things. You know, the line is something like, "I didn't want to wake you, but there's something I need to show you." Yeah. And it's just great because right after that, they show you all of these monsters, all of, you know, everything going on in this made-up world. And I have to say, I have never read this book. When I saw the initial media stuff, you know, on all of the blogs about this, I said, this looks like an interesting book to read. I should probably get it, but I never did. So
you're never going to read that book. It's a children's book.
I don't care if it's a children's book. I read Chronicles of Narnia.
No. I don't mean Chronicles of Narnia children's book.
I read Lord of the Rings.
I don't mean I'm talking about like Hop on Pop children's book.
So
or at least that's what I believe it is. Right?
I want to read it anyway. That and I want to read Coraline. though Coraline is only a short story, but I still want to read that and I want to watch it.
It's coming out here. I see a poster up in the window in the cinema.
I hope so. Anyway, back to
but
the topic.
But we definitely won't get it in 3D.
No, we won't. And I don't really care. Actually, I'm not sure I like the 3D thing.
I think we'd like it if we had the new 3D that they're using in the States now, the digital 3D.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen the glasses they use?
No, I haven't, but I have seen that they say that it doesn't hurt your eyes as much as the old version, which it does. I mean, I remember I went to Universal the other day, and I went to Shrek, and my eyes were just killing me after the whole thing, and it was
the red green thing?
Of course, it was the red blue thing.
Right. The new 3D, I've seen pictures of people with the glasses. It looks like a really cool pair of sunglasses that if they gave it to you, you wouldn't get rid of. You'd love it and you'd wear it and you'd pretend like they were real glasses. And it's one projector, I think. Right? So it's really just in the film that they've changed. So I don't know what we need to fix up or pay or get it down here, but I think they've fixed the problem and it could be a very interesting technology. However, we're talking about the movie, right?
True. And one more thing I want to say. Screw sunglasses. Why the hell am I going into the movie theater to wear sunglasses? If they want to make 3D, make it pop out of the bloody wall. I don't want to wear anything on my face.
Well, it's a holographics.
Exactly. No, back
CNN
to the,
can do it.
Back
so
to the
can
point.
They.
Let's talk about this trailer. What did you think?
Everyone, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know it was one of my top 10 movies to see in 2009. Like, I hadn't read the book. I didn't know the book existed. All I knew was Spike Jonze was doing it, and I saw some stills and the test footage, which was leaked last year. And just the look of the film had me interested. No,
remember, the kid from the test footage is no longer a part of this movie.
I know. I see it's a different child, but I really don't care about the kid, right? It was all about the monsters and how they made them and how they made them, like... I'm still not sure whether they're real or CG, you know? I'm sure it varies per shot, you know? But, oh my goodness. And one thing that I'm highly interested in is that I've realized from this trailer, I told you I didn't read the book, right? That it's become very evident that this world of monsters is really a parallel in the child's imagination from his real world, because you can see a shot of him in the real world with his mother and him in like the in the snow playing around, and I'm sure they're going to parallel that with this world of monsters. It's like a Calvin and Hobbes thing, right? Is it Hobbes or Hobbes? I don't know.
I would say Hobbes. Maybe someone would say Hobbes, but who cares?
Right? If you don't know what Calvin and Hobbes is, you're an idiot, and don't listen to my podcast anymore because I don't need to talk to you. Go out and find out. It's awesome, right? This, and it's just something very interesting to me. I found recently, like, as I've matured as someone who loves film, movies, I tend to go to movies which look amazing before I think about stories or anything, right? Like, especially last year with how I was hyping Speed Racer, it was all about how Speed Racer looked for me. And I love that movie all the same, because it gave me what I wanted. So, you know, if this Where the Wild Things Are can be that movie this year for me, where it's all about how it looks and it delivers a decent story in the end, but just awes me with the visuals, then I'm happy. And this trailer has given me hope that that's what it will be. And as you said, adaptation, great movie with Spike Jonze.
Yeah. Okay, so that is it for our unbridled adoration of Where the Wild Things Are. Now we get into our review, and this week we are reviewing a movie that is about a man of notoriously vicious and intemperate disposition, and that man is Clint Eastwood. And his friend is Morgan Freeman, and Gene Hackman is in there, and even even Dumbledore is in it, and yes, here it is, Unforgiven.
Step over to the office and get the bullwhip.
A whipping? That's all they get after what they've done?
Get out of there!
It was a matter of honor.
They're paying $1,000 to whatever kills the two boys that cut up Delilah.
In a time when lawmen were killers.
What are y'all looking at?
You
English, Bob.
Outlaws were heroes.
Well, I thought that you were dead.
Hell, I even thought I was dead. Till I found out it was just in Nebraska.
And a bad reputation.
You're the one who killed William Harvey and robbed that train over Missouri.
Was as good as gold.
My guess is you're calling yourself Mr. William Money.
Say what?
You don't look no meaner than hell, cold-blooded damn killer.
I ain't like that anymore, kid.
$1,000 reward, Will. Nobody's gonna come.
So you still have that Spencer rifle, huh?
Yeah.
My partner. You don't go, I don't go.
What's it come to, three ways?
Just because we're going on this killing, that don't mean I'm gonna go back to being the way I was.
Are you really gonna kill them cowboys?
I do not like assassins.
Oh, no.
Or men of low character.
We ain't bad men no more. We're farmers.
You're a lot of savages! A bunch of bloody savages! Assassins!
Well, I guess they have it coming.
We all have it coming, kid.
Some legends will never be forgotten. Some wrongs can never be forgiven.
Any man don't want to get killed. Better clear on out the back.
Unforgiven.
All right, that was Unforgiven, the 1992 film directed by Clint Eastwood, where he won the Oscar for it. It was his first Oscar that he won. For directing as well as acting, I believe. All right, what did you think of this film?
What did I think of this film? I thought... Well, let me tell you what I got from this film. First things first, this film made me realize how similar these two words were, how close they sounded. Whores and horse. Because they said, you know, a line, and it just kind of resonated with me. They said something to the extent of, we're just whores. They ride us like horses. And I thought to myself, those words are very similar. I wonder if one kind of spawned the other. But anyway, that's just me being weird. I thought that the movie was a little bit slow, especially for the first, say, 2 hours.
And just to let you know, the movie is 2 hours and 10 minutes long.
Then there were those last 10 minutes. And those 10 minutes were worth every slow, minute second of the first 2 hours. The last 10 minutes were fantastic. The first 2 hours were great as well. It was just very slow in its pace. It kind of presented a story, or not even a story as much as a scenario, a situation. And they said, by the way, if you're looking for the person I was talking about, Dumbledore was English, Bob.
Yeah, I see. That's what I'm looking at now.
Okay. Yeah, so back to the point. The first 2 hours were essentially setting up a scenario, setting up a situation for Clint Eastwood to be in so that he could show us exactly how awesome Clint Eastwood is. And he did in those last 10 minutes. He said to us, you know what? Any man who don't want to get killed, just go out the back. And that is what I thought about Unforgiven.
I don't think I've made it very clear, right? I'm not a huge fan of Westerns, but I think that was more or less a blind hatred, you know, a youthful hatred, where my father would watch Westerns and I'd find them boring because they'd all be the same, more or less, right? And, I mean, usually with the podcast, what I do is I forced myself to watch movies.
I'm sorry. I just showed Andrew a tweet by Devin Farachi himself, which states, if I ever get a dog again, I'm naming him Avon Barksdale. And if you don't understand that reference, Avon Barksdale is the...
No. Don't explain it.
Don't explain it. All right. I'm sorry. If you don't understand, Andrew says you're to stop listening. So let us continue.
Google it, and then whatever comes up, you need to go and see that.
Right? Watch that television show. Oops, yeah. I think I may have said too much.
Every episode. And you're not allowed to come out from the cave you are in until you have. Right. So I'm not a huge fan of Westerns. I've never really been. And that's why me and Clint haven't been best friends over the years. I mean, I've liked a lot of his recent films. There's Gran Torino.
That's because they're not Westerns.
Yeah, that's because they're not Westerns. Gran Torino, there's Million Dollar Baby and stuff like that. I've loved those movies. But when it came to like the Westerns, the spaghetti Westerns, the Dollar Trilogy and everything, I've been like, yeah, Western. And, I mean, I've gotten over it in recent years. I mean, especially 310 to Yuma, the remake made me get over it because that movie was so awesome, right? That movie was so awesome. And it's made me want to go back and watch all of these Westerns and be like, hey, I have to give them an honest chance. I mean, I'm a different person from then. And that's what this movie is. This movie is me giving Westerns a chance, right? And I have to say, it's made me want to go out and find every Western there is and go and watch it. Especially the Dollar Trilogy. That's on my list for this week to
yes,
watch.
Yes, it is. I remember The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Nice little movie. First R-rated movie I ever got to watch with
No, wasn't it Freddy Krueger?
Well, okay, I guess maybe you could talk about that. But after Freddy Krueger, there was a point in time where it was just like, okay, Freddy Krueger is fine, but no other R-rated movie. This was the first after Freddy Krueger.
All right. Now, this film has a lot of elements which are really good, right? Okay. For example, Morgan Freeman and...
And Clint Eastwood, their relationship?
They work as a buddy film in itself. Especially yes. for the first hour, yes. where they're just going to the kill, right? It's an amazing relationship. I mean, I even found myself laughing hysterically, especially during the conversation where Morgan asks Clint if he ever goes into town. I don't know if you remember what I'm talking about. He goes into town for the women.
No, he doesn't ask him about if he ever goes into town. They're already in town and they're in the bar and he says, well, you know.
There was at one point while they were traveling when he asks him that. No, when he gets to the bar, he asks him, hey, do you want, and he gets a response. But during traveling, he asks him because his wife died a couple of years ago. I think it was 2 or 3.
Yes, actually, that's the first thing that comes up. And it's very odd because it has bearing in the sense that it, again, helps to build this situation that you've got. But other than that, it doesn't. You could have the film without this first 2 seconds where it has scrolling text that says, you know, there was a very comely woman who married this, you know.
Yeah, they could totally just write it in into one scene where he mentions that my wife died.
No, they need to write it in. You just need to have the kids and then... They already have a scene where he says, oh, my wife died.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They could just write in saying, yeah, my wife died and I used to be a killer.
Yeah, but you know what? I actually like the scrolling thing, especially because it gave me that line to say in the beginning about the vicious man.
Oh, that's where you took it from?
That's exactly where I took it from.
Oh. I did read it. I just don't remember it that well because, you know, I pay more attention to the film bit.
Yeah, but you know me. I like all of those odd little details.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a huge Terry Gilliam fan. That's why I'm a huge Gondry fan. You know that.
Another thing that I loved was, like you said, the last 10 minutes of this movie, from the famous quote that this movie is famous for. Whoa,
the famous quote that you are famous for. Applaud, Andrew. Yay. Okay.
The
so
quote
now.
That this film is famous for, you know, when he's talking about what it means to really kill a man, you know. How does it go again? I don't remember word for word. You take away everything he was, everything he can be.
No, everything he is and everything he will ever be or something right. similar to that.
And it's just an amazing line. It's something that I believe I would record an audio, an MP3 version of and have it play in my headphones for me so I can just have it resonate with me. Like that line alone, if the movie ended there, I would have been like, yes, this was amazing. But the action scene at the end was awesome.
Yes, it was. It was.
As you saw in the trailer, they hinted at it with anyone who doesn't want to die, go out the back. That's a part of the scene.
Oh, I didn't even realize that was in the trailer. I just said that and I didn't care what that spoiled.
Right? Another good part about this movie was Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman, yes, his character was good. I liked the way that he, especially when he goaded Morgan Freeman.
No,
I
liked that. But you know what I loved even more? When he was dealing with English Bob.
No, you know what? I liked even further on than that. I liked when he started to deal with the writer, because you could see clearly that this man, Little Bob was his character's name. Or Little Bill, sorry, was his character's name. This man, Little Bill, was no better than English Bob. Because even after... Wait. Can I say this? Is this spoiler territory? You know what? Let's just leave it at the fact that you saw that even though in the beginning they tried to show you or maybe fool you into thinking that Little Bill was, you know, this decent guy that maybe went a little bit over the top every once in a while and was the sheriff of the town and was respected and whatnot, that, you know, he was as awful a character as these people that he was against.
Yeah, and I think I'd word it differently. And the way you'd view Little Bill in respect to English Bob is the only difference between them is Little Bill got a day job.
No, the only difference between them is that Little Bill has a badge.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And,
yeah.
And the badge allows him to have the gun.
Exactly. And so when he does it, it's legal.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Nixon says, if the president does it, it's not wrong. Or whatever the hell that was.
And that's a cool movie, by the way. No, he says, when the president does it, that means it's not illegal. Or something like that. And it's an amazing film. Frost Nixon. It was nominated for an Oscar. And
yes, but it lost.
Yeah, to a better movie.
And that it did.
Yeah, so we've basically said our piece. Like, would you recommend this to basically everyone or like a specific group of people?
I would recommend it to people who like Westerns. I would recommend it to people who like films. I would not recommend this movie to people who need that action, who can't sit through a proper drama. If, you know, you can't watch Lost in Translation, if you can't sit down and watch, say...
A Terry Gilliam movie.
No. Terry Gilliam movies are a horse of a different color. If you can't watch a film that is not hugely plot-driven, not hugely story-driven, but character-driven, if you cannot watch that, then don't watch this movie. Because that's what this movie is. If you want the action, go to YouTube and search for Last 10 Minutes in Unforgiven. It will be there. It'll knock your socks off. It's fantastic. But other than that, you know, whatever.
Okay, I have to agree. This is an amazing film. Personally, I'd recommend it to everyone because I'm that kind of person where when you come to me and you tell me you're the action junkie, I slap you in the face and I tell you, you need to learn movies are more than just popcorn.
Yeah.
Right? You know, for all those people who laugh at me for liking Tarantino because he writes dialogue in his movies. But yeah, if you're a fan of Westerns, if you're one of those people who are like, Clint Eastwood made me into the man I am today because of the Dollar Trilogy and that kind of stuff, you need to see this film if you haven't yet. It's a 1992 film. People should have seen it by now.
Exactly.
I'm sad that I hadn't. This is the first time I'm seeing it.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Listen, we're finished with this. However...
Go on, watch a movie.
No, we're not finished with the podcast.
No,
I have
on,
something else to say.
What do you have to say?
I need to now talk about a news item.
It's 11:40, man. I'm tired.
I don't care. I'm going to talk about this. And it actually relates to a news item we talked about earlier.
What's this?
I am now on Twitter. I am going to read word for word from Alex, The Dark Knight is Amazing, Billington. And he says, anyone read Mark Miller's American Jesus comic? It's being adapted by Matthew Vaughn as a live-action movie. Just like Kick-Ass! With an exclamation mark. What do you think about that, Andrew?
I don't know this comic book. And as I said before, copy and paste. Mark Miller seems to be a cash whore. And he just wants the money. So I probably won't be that interesting because of Mark Miller. Maybe because I haven't read this book, I might be able to get into it more, unlike Wanted. But, yeah, copy and paste.
Okay. So, basically what you're saying to me is Mark Miller is a hack who needs to go his merry way. Is that
Mark
what you're saying?
Mark Millo, as I've seen from Kick-Ass and Wanted, is amazing when it comes to his comic book. However, as I saw with Wanted, the film adaptation, he's a hack in trying to get it adapted honestly. Or even allowing someone the room to adapt it in a certain way that makes it interesting as an adaptation. Right? So, I don't know. Maybe it's a one-off problem, because it's the only film that's based off of his work, Wanted. So maybe I'm being a little harsh. Maybe it was the director's fault and not so much his. But he could have not been such a horror about it, and especially with the marketing, as I mentioned earlier.
Yes, because as we know from stories like the RoboCop story with Frank Miller and all of these horror stories that you hear about the writer, the director is the man with the final say. Or even not even the director, maybe the producers. Sometimes it depends on where the power lies, but the power never lies with the writer.
Yeah.
And the writer is always the guy getting screwed. So you're right, it's not his fault. But you're also right in the sense that, you know what? He said it was going to be an amazing movie. He said he watched it. He said he saw it.
Yeah, that's
he said
the real
it was
problem.
Fantastic. And yeah, that is what you're upset about. And actually, I agree with you. He should not have said that, because guess what? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that I think that a lot of people agree with me in that movie was crap. I hated it. I did not like it. I really like the lead.
Oh, by the way, have you read Wanted yet?
No, I haven't.
You need to read it. It's
I know awesome. You tell me you love it, and you tell me it's a bunch of monks and not just some random killers. But, you know,
they're all supervillains.
Yes.
And all the superheroes have been killed. That's what we're dealing with.
Sweet.
I'm sorry. Fruit of the Loom, not supposed to be in that movie.
Oh. Here's Slash Film talking about the same thing. Matthew Vaughn retweets.
Yeah,
he's
tweeting his post. Anyways, I think, can we end now?
Well, I guess we can end now, but you did sound like you had something else to say before I rudely interrupted you.
I've forgotten it already.
Come on, you were going to say something. You have to say it.
No, I really don't know. I really don't remember what I was going to talk about.
Okay, all right. I guess we can stop it there then. So that is it for the podcast for today. We thank you for listening to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. We hope to see you again next week. And
hopefully Damien will be here next week.
Hopefully Damien will be here next week. Maybe, you know, he might fall asleep at the wheel this time or something. I don't know what he's going to do next time to
I'm amazed that we didn't call him in today. You know, we had Damien call in last week.
Yes, we did. That's it from all of us here at G-Man Reviews. It has been a very good Unnamed Movie Podcast, I believe.
Yeah.
Even though we did not have the chance to speak with Damien about his quid pro quo foolishness, but
We'll get to it eventually,
day.
I'm
exactly.
sure.
Exactly. And so, you know, as Andrew said before, you can find all of our earlier episodes on gmanreviews.com. You can email us at Andrew's email address is andrew@gmanreviews.com.
Andrew.Robinson.
Many apologies. Mine is douglas@gmanreviews.com. You can email us just general stories at
Unnamed@gmanreviews.com.
Unnamed@gmanreviews.com. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at DJR Lost His Name. Andrew, you're where?
G-Man Reviews.
And that's it, essentially. But a couple of things. Next episode, we're going to be talking about Gus Van Sant, because he won over David
the
Lynch.
The filmmaker poll.
Why? I asked
Actually,
you
no one voted for David Lynch.
I asked you, please vote for David Lynch, and you didn't vote for him.
Oh, and also, everyone, you can subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yes, you can.
You search iTunes for G-Man Reviews. As usual, I'm still a lazy prick, so I haven't changed the PHP file to say the Unnamed Movie Podcast. So search for G-Man Reviews. You'll find us. Vote for us. Give us reviews, because I'm kind of sad that only that guy reviewed us, and it's still very horrible.
Yes, seriously, Miles, come on. Give us a good review.
Well, I think it's kind of country certain, so because it thinks I'm in the States, it's giving me all the reviews from the States. So even if Miles reviews it, because he's in Australia, Well, it won't show to me.
At least everybody who is in Australia will think we're an awesome podcast, okay? So, Miles, review us. I thought you liked us. Like us on iTunes vocally, please. And I believe that's all the information we have to give. Next week, hopefully Damien will be here. And
we're not sure about what we're going to review yet, but yes, hopefully we'll figure that out soon.
And we might have a bit of a new format, I think. But we'll get into that next week.
Okay.
So, next week it is.
All right. Good night, everyone, and thanks for listening.